Well, we are in a series called Positive Mental Attitude, and I started this off in the first week talking about how I used to go to these camps, NBC camps, when I was a kid, and all of the counselors would get us psyched up in the morning by asking us the question, how's your PMA? And we'd have to respond enthusiastically, boy, am I enthusiastic. Yeah, just like that. So just hold back the enthusiasm for a moment. I'm gonna have you all engaged in that in just a second. But I was talking to a friend of mine, and he had just sent his kid, who was about the age I was when I went for the first time. He's in sixth grade. And I asked him all about the camp. I was like, so are they still doing the cheer? And he comes back at me. He's like, yeah, how's your PMA? And I was like, yeah, are they still doing the cheer? And he's like, oh, yeah, they're crazy about it. They do it every single morning. And until we shout loud enough or wave our arms enthusiastically enough, they make us keep doing it over and over and over again. And I only want to make you do it one time this morning. So let me just encourage you. I'm going to ask you, how's your PMA? The response is, boy, am I enthusiastic. I want to see some enthusiasm. Let's get this thing started off right. So how's your PMA? We got some standards this morning. That was good. All right. Well, PMA, positive mental attitude. And, you know, the reason we're bringing this whole series is because there's a lot of pessimism, cynicism, and negativity in the world. There's a lot of things dragging us down. You know, I think of a pot of crabs, right? And the crabs can't get out of the pot because as one tries to make a break for it, the other crabs within the pot will pull that crab down by trying to get over the top of that crab. And it seems like that is the kind of human interaction that we experience a lot of times with coworkers or with neighbors or with all sorts of other people in our lives. There's a lot of negativity. There's a lot of discouragement. And it starts early. And I know because when I sent my kids off to school, they reported back to me the things that would happen to them during the day. And I remember those things happening to me when I was a kid. I didn't get picked for the team. I didn't make the advanced class. You know, in fact, even within our own family, there's that kind of discouragement thrown out. Whenever my youngest son, Judah, gets upset with one of his other siblings, he says, well, I made it to the advanced class and you didn't, right? And so there's that discouragement thrown out, even amongst my own kids. I remember my daughter coming back from school and saying, hey, is there something wrong with my nose? Because this guy was making fun of my nose or my hair or whatever. I remember in sixth grade, one of the worst days I ever had, it was talk about a bad hair day. I used to wave my hair up to the side. I used to part it. It's tight now, but it was like wavy back then, and that was the style, right? Just like Johnny from Karate Kid. And so I had this great blonde hair that would just wave up perfectly, and I was so proud of it, and I would spray it with hairspray so it would stay that way all day, Aquanet, you know? And I remember one day I was sitting in class, and this kid behind me, I can still see his fingers pointing at the back of my hair, and he said, you only hairsprayed half your head, and he's laughing, and the whole class starts laughing, because sure enough, in the back, it was all frizzy, like it had just come out of the shower, and the front was all hairsprayed, and it was a bad, bad day all day, just discouraged. And, you know, back when we were kids, there was this sense in which you could believe that you were with the popular crowd even if you really weren't. But nowadays, there is hard data proving that you are not as popular as the other kid. You just go on Instagram and you see your photo and it has half as many likes as so-and-so's photo. And there it is, proof that you are not as popular as other people in your class or other people in your school. It's brutal. And then you grow up and you go to work and your boss is upset about your project, or you got passed over for the promotion because you didn't have the right personality, and then you come home and your spouse picks you apart, you know, and we live next to each other and in close proximity, and so spouses kind of tend to pick on the other person for the chronic problems in their life. And I don't have a spouse like that, but I've heard that some people do. But your kids tell you, in fact, I had this happen to me. We were camping this last week, and one of my kids came to me and said, hey, Dad, this dad has REI tent and REI chairs. He has a hatchet. He's all prepped for camping, and you just look like you threw all this together. You're not as cool. You're not as good as my friend's parents, right? And then you get on social media, and so-and-so's on their third vacation, like the Sears, you know, because we went camping, and we went to Hawaii earlier this year. And, of course, we plastered that all over social media for everybody else to feel jealous, right? And you haven't been on a vacation yet, so you feel discouraged by that. And then, you know, you get a nice haircut and you go outside and your neighbor says, "Hey, did you get a haircut?" And you're feeling like, "Yeah, somebody noticed my haircut." And then they say, you say yes, and they say, "Oh." And you're like, was that "oh" like, "Oh, it's amazing," or was that "oh" like, "eh, you know, it looks okay"? You know, it's just, there's all sorts of discouragements. And so, you know, you can get that feeling very quickly that, man, my life stinks, you know, and not feeling very good about what your living situation is and what your current lifestyle is. And we can get discouraged. We can get disappointed with things very, very quickly. And so this morning, I want to talk to you about encouragement. I want to talk to you about the importance of being an encourager and being encouraged. And the foundation of this sermon is just simply this truth, that our God is an encouraging God. And if we are called to reflect and to image God as he has created us, back in Genesis, we find that that is true, then we need to be encouragers. We need to reflect who he is to the world. And so our God is an encouraging God. I want you to just say that with me. Our God is an encouraging God. Let's just start there. That's the foundation of this message this morning. I want to take you to 2 Corinthians 7, just at the start here, in verse 5. And Paul is writing to the church in Corinthians in Corinth, and he's talking about a situation that he faced. And I think that many of us, we would resonate with what he says here. Verse 5, he says, "When we came into Macedonia, there was no rest for us. We faced conflict from every direction, with battles on the outside and fear on the inside." I don't know if you relate with that in any way in your life, where you've come into a situation or come into a season of your life where there are battles on the outside, right? There's conflict all around you. And then what that does is it creates fear and anxiety on the inside. Internally, all of a sudden, you're melting with fear, right? You're feeling this sense of, am I going to make it through this? And I love what happens next, because in verse 6, Paul takes something that was negative. He takes a conflict, and he says just two words, "but God." It's so great in your Bible when you read something negative, when you read something that should be, you know, pessimistic and cynical, to hear these two words, "but God." And then Paul says, "who encourages those who are discouraged, encourage us by the arrival of Titus." Someone cares. God cares. And what I love about this particular passage is that for Paul, it wasn't like God parted the heavens, came down and said, "take courage, Paul." Or there's something very practical that happened. His friend, Titus, arrived. And Paul didn't say, "oh, well, that's just a coincidence," or, "well, good timing, Titus. You came and brought us some encouragement." Paul took the arrival of Titus and the timing of his arrival as a sign to him that God was encouraging him, and he was encouraged, right? He said, "this isn't just Titus, this isn't just coincidence, this is God." And he had the eyes to see that I was discouraged, I was up against it, we were facing conflict, we were facing trials on the outside and fear on the inside, and God came in that moment and he spoke in the way that only he could speak. And it resonated with him, and he said, "this is God." So many times in our lives, God shows up, and I think we fail to recognize it, and it's not as encouraging as it may have meant to be. God is encouraging us. He is attracted to those who are discouraged. He wants to uplift you. He wants to encourage you. He wants to motivate you. He wants to quell your fears and bring you peace. And he does that through all sorts of practical ways. If we have the eyes to see, if we have the ears to hear the words that God would speak to us, we will be encouraged. And I think for some of you, you've come into this place today and you're hurting. You're discouraged. You are dealing with health problems. You're dealing with financial problems. You're stressed out because of relational conflict or relationships at work. There's all sorts of troubles and problems and seasons in our life when we are down. And God wants to encourage you this morning. He encourages the discouraged. That's the kind of God that he is. This last couple of weeks has been a whirlwind for me because a couple of weeks ago I was praying in our men's prayer time on Wednesday morning, and I got the sense that God was asking me to go to Kenya for the first time in 15 years, and I've never really thought that that was something for me in this season of life, and so I've delayed it and delayed it and delayed it, and I felt like God was asking me to go. And I was excited about that, but just not sure how it would all work out. And then the next day I went to talk to Richard, and it turns out that because of what he has gone through with this knee reconstructing surgery, that he's not going to be able to go now, and that was stressing him out, right? I mean, to be able to figure out how am I going to make this medical camp work without me being present. There's a lot of things that he has to do over there. There's a lot of reasons why he needs to be physically present. He couldn't make it. And so I said to him, well, I feel like God is calling me to take your place and to go in your stead. And he was so encouraged by that. And then for me, like to be able to hear from him, man, I just didn't know how this was going to be resolved, and I was just praying that God would solve this problem, and here I was, the solution to the problem. Well, that encouraged me, right? And then I went out to my friend Scott, and I said, hey, I've got this opportunity to go on this trip to Kenya, and I want you to come with me. And Scott comes back to me, and he says, you won't believe this, right? I was going to go on a trip to China the exact dates that you're going to Kenya, and I had to cancel the trip because they couldn't get it together. I'm coming with you, right? And then I was encouraged, right? And so there was all these great circumstances. All these circumstances, we could have said, wow, that just blows my mind how it all went, you know, all the pieces fell right into place, right? Or I could have this attitude that says, no, but God, right? God stepped into there. God provided a way. God is trying to encourage us. God is trying to motivate us and get us ready for what is going to happen in Kenya. So, but God showed up, right? It's not just coincidence. It's not just, oh, this happened this way or that happened that way. And it just turns out God was speaking to us. God was there encouraging us. And I think so many times we fail to see God because we're not looking for it. And we need to have the eyes to see and the ears to hear, because God is a God who encourages the discouraged. If you've walked into here today and you're discouraged, God has a word to encourage you with this morning. So I want to talk to you about three things that we can do to live into this encouragement, live into emulating, reflecting, imaging this God who is an encouraging God. And the first one is just simply this: we need to encourage others daily. We need to encourage others daily. There's all sorts of voices of pessimism. We started out with that. There's all sorts of discouragement. It's around us all over the place. It's very, very prevalent. Research shows that we need positive versus negative comments and experiences in our lives, a ratio of 6 to 1. So we need 6 encouraging words spoken over us for every 1 negative or cynical or critical remark spoken to us. This has been researched over and over and over again. I just looked up the statistics. John Gottman, who's a researcher from UW, studies marriages. So within relationships, he says the ratio is about 5 to 1, that he can predict couples who will stay together and be happy in their marriage if they have 5 positive comments compared to 1 critical comment. That's the ratio. If you fall below that, you risk failure in your marriage and disappointment in your marriage. In addition to that, the Harvard Business Review said the ratio is more 6 to 1 within professional environments, that if coworkers are speaking life to one another and encouraging one another at a rate of 6 versus 1 criticism, that there will be success in the professional realm. And in fact, if you fall below that, if you fall, for instance, 4 to 1 or 3 to 1, you could say, oh, we're doing good. We've got more positive than negative comments going around. It's not good enough. You'll be a mediocre team, they say. And if you go down to even 2 to 1, double, you know, what
positive to discouraging or critical comments that literally you will plummet and you will fail as a business. And so this is the research that they have done, the Harvard Business Review, and then John Gottman within marriages. And so we need this ratio of encouraging words, and we need it daily. We need to speak life into our loved ones, into our children, into our wives, into our husbands, into our fellow believers, into our neighbors, into our coworkers. We need to speak encouragement over them daily. It has to be a habit that we cultivate in our lives. Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13, he says, "But encourage one another daily." So it's not just John Gottman. It's not just the Harvard Business Review. It's your Bible that is telling you, encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. So here's a good rule to live by. If you think of something good to say over a person, say it. I think so many times we hold back for whatever reason. I know, let me just speak to myself. I hold back all the time. I love thinking positive thoughts about people, but if I don't speak it, what good does it do? It just floats around in my brain and is of no use, right? So speak it. If you hear something positive, or if you think something positive, speak it, spray it, say it, text it, get it out there outside of your brain so that it can impact somebody in a positive way. I don't ever want to rob somebody of the encouragement that I can bring to them through a positive word or just a word of edification over them. I loved what one researcher said. He said, if you could picture, use this metaphor, if you could picture a bucket that represents encouragement for a person and a ladle, you can speak a critical word over that person. It's like taking the ladle and draining their bucket of one ladle of water, right? And you could speak a word of encouragement to them, and you could take that ladle full of water and dump it into their bucket. We want to be the kind of people who fill one another's buckets full of encouragement. This is the power of living in community with one another. You know, one of the things that we really push and hope that you'll get plugged into here at the church is our community groups. Because it presents this opportunity for you to meet with people weekly or biweekly, whatever the schedule is for that particular group, and to speak life into one another, to encourage one another in the scriptures, in spiritual things, to really be a source of encouragement for one another. If you see that somebody is discouraged, that presents to you this opportunity just to speak life over them, words of edification, lift them up, help them be all that they can be in the Lord. I was with a friend just this last week while we were camping, and we went out and we had a cup of coffee, and I was just telling him about a few things that were going on in my life. I was feeling generally just kind of down and a little bit discouraged, and he took that moment after I was sharing with him. He just said to me, "You know what? You are one of the greatest fathers I know, and the way you love your wife inspires me. And I want to tell you how great of a leader you are and what a great job you've done with the church." And after him just speaking those words of life over me, I had a spring in my step. I mean, even today, right? I'm just kind of floating off of those words of this friend who I trust and who I love, who sensed, hey, I need to bring life. I'm going to speak these good things that I see in Jeremiah. It brought me to life. It encouraged me. That's the power of encouragement. Another passage from Hebrews 10, verse 24, it says, "Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good work." So be strategic about it is what I read into what he is writing there. "And let us not neglect our meeting together." So come together, you know, come to church, hear a message like this, join a community group, get plugged in with a group of people who are going to uplift you. And not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. And if it was near 2,000 years ago, it's even more near now, right? So especially we ought to encourage one another. I need encouragement. I'm going to give encouragement. I'm going to think up ways to encourage others, uplift them, edify them in the Lord. If I think of something good, I want to be the type of person who says it, who speaks it out, doesn't hold it back all to myself. I want to speak it. I want to speak it out. I want to get it out there. Second thing that we can do just to live into this and reflect the image of God, who is an encourager, is to encourage others spiritually. You know, it's one thing to say, hey, good job on that project, or your house looks beautiful, or hey, that's a great haircut that you got today. It's another thing to uplift somebody in their faith, right? To give them a sense of, hey, God is in this. God is blessing you. God is speaking favor over your life. I want to take you to a passage in Romans chapter 1, verse 10. Again, the Apostle Paul writing, and he says, one of the things I always pray for is the opportunity, God willing, to come at last to see you. For I long to visit you so that I can bring you some spiritual gift that will help you grow strong in the Lord. In other words, I want to lift you up. I want to edify you. I want to encourage you. When we get together, he says in verse 12, I want to encourage you in your faith, but I always want to be encouraged. I also want to be encouraged by yours. I want to be the type of person, and I want to surround myself with the type of people who are lifting me up in my faith, encouraging me in my faith. I, you know, so appreciate Richard for a number of years ago. We were at this Christmas party, and it had been several years since I had taken over as the lead pastor of our church. And let me tell you, when I first started out, there was reason for skepticism, right? Is this going to work, right? As I look back, I think to myself, I mean, talk about greenhorn. I was the definition of greenhorn. I don't think I had any idea what I was doing, right? It was just totally a flip a coin. Either this church is going to keep going or I'm just going to ruin it, right? So, and that definitely was what I was feeling on the inside. And it was this moment, it had been 3 or 4 years since I'd taken over. We had this Christmas party, and Richard probably doesn't even remember this, but we were sitting in a circle around all the leaders of our church and our elders and ministry leaders, and everybody was there. And Richard just took a moment. And he said, you know, let me just start off. I just want to say, and he didn't talk about success. He didn't talk about how great of a you know, speaker I am, or all this, you know, professional things that I had done. He looked at me and he just said, I'm proud of the man of God that you have become. And I'm proud of the way that you spiritually have led this church and spiritually have led your family. And that spoke more to me just in that moment, just him encouraging me spiritually and uplifting me in my faith than any other words from any other person could have spoken. I just so appreciated that. And I don't want anybody to discount the impact that your words can have on another person. The way that you encourage people spiritually in the Lord, the way that you can impact the faith of another person, whether it is your spouse or your children, you have the power of life and death with your words. Speak life. I love to encourage people whenever I see something good in their life. You know, the way you love your wife, the way you love your husband and serve them faithfully, man, that is a blessing to me. I like to use those terms. You know, that blesses me. Or the passion with which you invite people to church. In fact, I just told somebody that this morning. I was so impressed that they invited these people to church, and how awesome it was to see people getting plugged into the body of Christ. And I just said, man, that inspires me to want to do the same thing, to invite other people to the church. You're inspiring me spiritually. I think it's so good for us to lift each other up in our faith. And it's perfectly acceptable to take something normal and make it spiritual when appropriate, all right? You can go overboard here and become the church lady, but you don't want to do that. But take something normal and make it spiritual, right? You can do that. My kids play sports, all sorts of sports. And something that I was thinking about putting into practice more regularly is, hey, you know, that was a great shot, the way you won the game at the end of the game there. That was a great shot. God has really blessed you. He's given you a gift, a talent, an ability, right? That's how to spin something natural and make it more spiritual. Hey, God has blessed you with this. You should be grateful for what God has done for you. Or, hey, congratulations on that promotion. You were faithful in the small things, and God granted you favor with the big things. He has promoted you, right? Make it a spiritual edification, a spiritual encouragement. Don't just say, hey, congrats on the promotion. Add that spiritual component to it. God is blessing you. The word blessing is a great word, isn't it? It's the sense that we have been favored by God. Speak that into the lives of those that you are around daily. So we can encourage others daily, encourage others spiritually. And the third thing is just simply this: encourage yourself in the Lord. I talked a lot about the pessimism and the cynicism that's in the world all around us, but sometimes we can be our own worst enemy when it comes to critique, right? We have all this internal dialogue, and we can look at ourselves in the mirror and just say, oh, look at the bags under my eyes, or I've gained weight, or man, I'm always failing in this, or I'm always screwing this up, and I just can't ever seem to get over this conflict or this trial, and we could just be so negative in our self-talk. There's a great passage, a great story, really, in the life of David. Something tragic has just happened to him and his men. Some of their family members have been kidnapped, and all of David's men are looking to him and blaming him, and it says in the scripture that they wanted to stone him. Now, I'm sure you've had some bad days, but hopefully nobody's wanting to throw rocks and kill you. But David is in that situation, and this is what is so important about reading, especially stories in the Old Testament. There's just little phrases, little tiny sections of scripture that you could pass over quickly if you're just kind of getting into the storyline. But this is one of those moments where if you just read closely, you could pick out these words. And it says this in 1 Samuel 30, verse 6. It says, "But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God." And that's it, right? So there's this trial, there's this conflict, everything's going wrong, but David encouraged himself in the Lord, his God. I love that. You could preach to yourself, right? You could speak life into your own situation. You could say, hey, I have faith for this. I have a God who is for me. I have a God who encourages those who are discouraged. God is going to make a way. God is going to come through. Even this is not too big for the God that I serve. I was reading my journal, and one of the habits that I have is I like to, whenever I write a new entry in my journal, I maybe do it once every couple of weeks, right? I'm not a crazy journaler. But whenever I do read it, I like to go back about 10 years previous, or maybe even a year previous. I usually bookmark, you know, something distant in the past and bookmark it so I could read it. And I read it first, and I read where I've been and what my thoughts were and what my feelings were in this particular season or moment in my life. And it brings me back to all the problems of yesteryear and all the challenges and all the things that I was facing. And so because I have this habit, one of the things I've gotten the habit of doing is really speaking life to my future self. Right? I like to say, hey, God is going to make a way in this situation. God is going to provide a solution. He who is faithful is going to see me through this. And when I write those words, it's amazing how many times I'll look back at a conflict, I'll look back at a trial, I'll look back at a situation that I thought would never get resolved, and God has done just that. He has seen me through. And my faith back then, and just expressing and demonstrating that faith, and to see God make good on that promise, man, is such a faith builder for me. And so when I'm writing in my journal today, right, I'm looking back on all the ways that God has seen me through, all the things that he has seen me through. And I'm saying, hey, even in this trial that I'm going through today, even in this circumstance that seems beyond what I can bear, God is going to make a way. And it's just encouraging myself in the Lord, building myself up in the Lord. I believe that that's what David was doing here in this particular text. He encouraged himself in the Lord his God. You can do that when you see your self-talk trailing and growing negative and just kind of like a vortex of cynicism. Stop yourself and say, no, I'm going to encourage myself in the Lord. I'm going to build myself up and edify myself with the word of God. My God is going to work it out. He is going to make a way. I have the faith to believe that even in this situation, God is going to provide. And that is just such a wonderful way just to build yourself up, to edify yourself, to give yourself that faith boost that you need time in and time out. I mean, we need it all the time. We can't get enough of it. I believe that there is somebody here today. I believe that there are multiple somebodies here today who need this word, You walked in here and you were up against something. You're hurting, you're discouraged, you're looking at your children, you say they're going in the wrong direction. You're looking at your marriage, you're saying it's going from bad to worse. Your financial situation and the stress is mounting, your work situation, relational conflict, you got all these things swirling around you. And I want you to know today, I want to just speak this over you. God is a God who encourages the discouraged. He is very near to those who are in need of encouragement. If you've got troubles on the outside and you're experiencing fear and anxiety on the inside, if you're unsure about the outcome of whatever situation that you are in, what are you going to do? Let's embrace the truth this morning. Let's build ourselves up this morning in the Lord with this truth. God is going to bring encouragement. God is going to bring a solution. Just like he sent Titus to Paul all those years ago, God is a God who is going to speak life. He's going to bring life to my situation. He's going to provide a way where there is no way. And in the same way, God is calling us to be that Titus to somebody else, to show up, to bring encouragement, and to speak life into others. And so here's what we want to do. We want to speak encouragement over others daily. We want to speak encouragement into others and bring spiritual encouragement, build them up in their faith. And then we want to encourage ourselves in the Lord our God. That's the way to be the kind of people that God has called us to be. And so I just wanted to encourage you with that this morning. I want to just close by praying a prayer of blessing over you. Just go out and enjoy this sunshine, this beautiful day that God has made. And let's be encouraged this week. And let's be encouragers this week. Amen? Amen. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for this time that we have this morning. God, we know that you are a God who encourages the discouraged. And I pray especially, God, if there's anyone here today who feels particularly up under something that is just too big, is too out of control for their own strength, their own ability to handle, God, I just pray that you would provide a way for them. God, that you would encourage them. God, if there are those who have come into this place today and they're sapped of their strength, they don't know if they can keep going on, God, that you would give them strength, that you would supernaturally just breathe your breath of life upon them and make them whole. Give them a confidence, God, that you are going to make a way where there is no way. God, I pray that you would bring encouragement to the discouraged, that you would uplift those who are downcast. God, that you would cause your breath of life, God, to be upon us and let it go beyond this week. God, I pray that for those who receive encouragement, God, that they would in turn be encouragers. God, that we would speak life into our places of work. God, that we would speak encouragement over our neighbors. God, especially those in our own household, our families. God, I pray that we would speak life into our spouse, speak life into our children. God, that we'd see them come alive and be all that they can be in Christ because they have somebody who is uplifting them and empowering them to be all that they can be. Help us be encouragers, even as you are the great God who encourages us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you this morning.